Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Puneet Soni, CEO and co-founder of Suki. I've heard a lot of great things about your company, so before we dive into the thought leader questions, give me 60 seconds on your company, please.
Of course. Thank you for having me here. Yeah,
thank you.
A pleasure to be here. So my name is Puneet Soni. As you said, my company is called Suki. We are a voice-based digital assistant for doctors. Think of it as like an Alexa or a Siri for doctors. You can use us to basically do your digital documentation today, but over time you'll be able to do all sorts of healthcare tasks using us.
So what are three tasks that you can do with Suki with your EHR?
You know,
or the main ones.
Yeah, the fundamental thing here is that doctor burnout is a public health crisis.
61% of doctors.
You got it.
Experience burnout. Yes,
it's the biggest public health crisis that nobody knows about.
Yes, I agree.
And these folks are burning out because they're spending time clicking and checking boxes when they should be doing what they love, which is taking care of patients. So things that you can do, you can actually walk into the room and say, I have a digital assistant whose job is to make sure your care is taken care of. And then you say things like, hey, Suki, add to history, it's a 67-year-old who's got hyperkalemia. Or Suki, prescribe doxycycline X milligrams over Y weeks. Or Suki, make sure that this person comes back for a follow-up visit. And Suki will take all of that, create a document, push it into the right place, into the EMR, and you're done. You know,
love it.
The kind of things you can do.
Cool. Fantastic. Very cool innovation. So what, I'm sure building on that a little bit, what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry today?
I think that there are two trends that are worth talking about, and that actually are the genesis of a company like Suki. First of all, we are a small 40 people startup in San Francisco.
Which street are you on? Where are you exactly?
We are in Redwood City.
Okay,
so
cool.
About
Palo Alto.
About 35 minutes away from there.
Yeah.
There are two things that are important here. First, I think we have finally gotten to a place where the underlying voice and machine learning platforms have become so commoditized that you can actually use a Google speech API or Amazon's medical ASR and then use that to build the full-fledged product. I used to run mobile apps at Google, and before that, and after that, I was running software at Motorola. When you have to build a speech recognition system, it takes 4 to 5 years to do that.
Yeah.
Now, when you're using something like a Suki, we can actually just build on top of Google, and in 9 months flat, I have a product that's working. So that's trend number one, which is commoditization of machine learning and voice.
Excellent.
The second trend that's important is that hitherto, healthcare tech has always been built by either doctors who believe that they know everything and here's an IT guy and put it together and you have a product that actually serves a need but is really bad.
Right.
Or you have arrogant IT people who think they can solve healthcare but don't have clinical expertise. right?
Yes.
I think the trend is of having people from healthcare, clinicians and technologists working together to actually solve these problems. And so I think that actually is going to be a big reason why companies like Suki will hopefully make a dent.
No, that's fantastic, and I love it because I think I'm thinking of even how to solve some of the. I have an investment that I love, but one of the areas is customer service. It's in healthcare, but I'm trying to pull people from outside of healthcare,
right,
like Ritz-Carlton or Disney, to teach us what customer service truly is.
Right.
And so I think you're saying similar things where you're marrying up the right people from the right industries to really help us fly.
It's super important. This is not going to be built out of some garage in Palo Alto. It's going to be built when clinicians across the country decide to actually cooperate with us and work with us. Now, there's a long way to go still. I think some of the tasks that you talk about are important, but what really is important is that you want to get to a world where the doctor walks in and says, Suki, pay attention.
Yeah.
And have a wonderful conversation with the patient, and then he looks back and you have the entire note done, orders ready, everything is done. The grunge work and the mundane work of healthcare needs to be taken away from the doctor.
That's excellent. So what are two or three best practices that you can share to help successfully navigate those trends?
I think that as I mentioned, I think there's a couple of things to think about. First of all, internalize who your user is. I think this is true for almost every startup.
Mm-hmm.
I can come here and I can get on a podium and talk about I'm building an EMR or I'm building a patient care system or I'm building a care coordination system. Actually, what's important is not that. What's important is who is your end user.
Right.
In our case, every single pixel in this company is in service of the doctor.
Right.
So when the doctor actually uses us, we spend time trying to see how do we actually make a dent in their lives? How do we actually make it such that they can actually be more efficient and more productive and happier.
Yep.
So the first best practice, I will say, regardless of whether healthcare
excellent.
Or not,
yes.
is make sure you know who your user is.
That's right?
That's one.
Yeah.
Second, I think that it's very important not to like build everything, but assemble with all the technologies that there are in the market. You don't have to spend a lot of time actually just putting together pieces and just building all of this and saying it's all homegrown. There's a lot of really good technologies and companies out there. The question is, can you put together a service that somebody likes? And so I think focusing on the service is actually a very important thing. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I will say that once you actually have both of these things, spend time internalizing how does the user actually use the product? What kind of things do they think about? What feedback are they giving us? And then actually make that a part of your product development cycle. I think in a small startup, this is true. Mm-hmm. I think in a large company, people sometimes forget about it because it's a big business and there's a lot of feedback coming and some of it may not be good.
No, that's fantastic. We spent a lot of time here talking about the here and now with HIMSS, what's happening in 2019, 2020. What do you think, what we should be thinking about in 3 years from now, in 2022, that's going to be coming at us that we haven't maybe thought of yet or that we're focusing on?
You know, I'll be a little candid and perhaps even a little bit provocative here.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing around at the bookstore outside and I was looking at books. There were books there and there were lean systems and how do you finance the healthcare system and all of these other kind of books. My experience in healthcare is all of 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all.
Right.
Everyone here is way bigger an expert. Looking in from outside, the question...
Which I love that perspective. I want that perspective.
Yeah,
that's great.
I think looking in from outside, mm-hmm. all I can tell you is I think it's very complex and it's become very complicated and I don't know if it all needs to be that complicated.
Right.
And I think that
we
the
agree.
Only way you're going to disrupt this system is not by just building on top and bolting on top of all the existing things.
Yeah.
You will actually have to come up with a fundamentally new insight on what you want to solve and a fundamentally new technology. And it may take time. It may be 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, but I think we're going to have to rethink the entire health stack. And so to me, I think the thing that we have to keep in mind is something like voice is coming. Artificial technologies, intelligence technologies are actually in our horizon.
Mm-hmm.
These things will actually start showing up in various systems. Some people use it in clinical decision support and other places. I think personally that documentation is the right place to start. The reason, 80 to 90% of all data created in healthcare is created by the doctor.
Right.
So when you get that in a structured format, you can actually solve a lot of interesting problems in healthcare. So from my perspective, I think everyone here needs to cooperate with each other a lot more.
Yes.
I think we spend a lot of time building walls and actually creating our pseudo small monopolies and making some money. But
for
if
sure.
you can actually get together and interoperate a lot better,
right.
companies like us have a chance and perhaps your companies will actually be 10 times bigger too.
Yep. Yep.
So,
no, I agree.
So that's, I don't know if that's actually what everybody talks about. From my perspective as a small startup, that's actually the most important thing we need to do.
Well, no, I think you're spot on. I mean, that's exactly, like I said, one of my healthcare companies, I'm trying to take the customer service strategies from outside healthcare because I actually, not to put down healthcare, but I actually don't want internal healthcare strategies from customer service standpoint. I want the Ritz-Carlton customer service strategies. I want the Disney customer service strategies. They're the best in the world at what they do in customer service and customer satisfaction and bring that into healthcare, rethinking healthcare, to be honest. And so I completely agree.
People aren't bad, right? People
right.
are good people.
Exactly.
Everybody here is actually trying to do everything they can.
Yeah.
We just get beaten down and bogged down into these systems. My company is 20 months in.
Yeah.
We have a long way to go. I can start to see signs of like, you need to actually work this way, otherwise you can't make a headway. I think that's fundamentally wrong. And I think we need to figure out a way to actually incentivize companies to think provocatively so that we can change this system.
Well, I think, do you know Anish Chopra?
Yeah.
You know Anish? Yeah, because Anish was here earlier, and he thinks just like that. I mean, he's break down all the barriers, open up, you know, everything, open the data, let it flow, get the APIs flowing, get fire moving. But to your point, I mean, three guests ago was Elise Sweeney Anthony, who talked about the new rule that they published yesterday on interoperability and information blocking, and obviously API is a significant piece of that. So that would benefit you. So I think the right people are looking in the right direction, pushing this in the right direction.
I used to run the mobile apps group at Google, and my team built the first versions of everything you have on your phone, from Gmail, Docs, Chat, YouTube, etc.
Yeah.
We are tremendously more successful. We went from a $10 million ARR to a $1 billion ARR company because we had Android, and we had an open system that people could build on. I think a lot of the EMR systems and healthcare systems here have a huge opportunity to actually open it up in a thoughtful, highly secure way
and give
people that access. There's a long way to go before we get there, but I hope we can get there.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, Puneet, I appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank
you very much. Excellent. You're a great guest. Welcome to the show. We'll have you back for sure.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you, my friend. You got it.